Father God, yes. Once more and again, we've come before your throne, thanking and praising you, giving you all of the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you, Lord God, for the tithes and the offering that has been shared this morning, God, in obedience to you, Lord God. And we ask you to bless it, O Heavenly Father, and that it be used for your kingdom. All that we do it all to the glory
and
the honor of you, Lord. And again, we want to thank you for all those who have shared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus. All right. Praise him, church. Praise him, church. Jesus. Praise him, church. Church, say amen.
Amen.
For he is worthy to be praised. He has brought us from a mighty, mighty long way. And I'm grateful and thankful to know that he's still bringing us. We are still becoming. We're not there yet, but we are all becoming. Paul said that he had not apprehended that which had apprehended him, but he's striving towards perfection, towards maturity. And Lord, we thank you that we know you for ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that you have watched over us all this past week. In spite of all that we had to face and encounter, you brought us through. And we thank you. You provided for us shelter, food, clothing, transportation, We thank you. Health and strength, friends, loved ones, and families. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, thou art the potter. I am the clay. Yield and steal in thy mighty hands. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. To Evangelist Lavallee and to the officers and members of this great church, Mount Holly Baptist Church, and we thank God for each one of you present. And thank God for Sister Pondexter. Yes. The music that has lightened our load and lifted our spirits through music this morning. And thank God for you. Just for being present. I want to lift up a thought from Psalms 13. Psalms 13. 13th number of Psalms. Psalms say chapter 13, but Psalms, the book of Psalms is a book of hymnlets. Therefore, you don't have any chapters, but you have numbers. Psalms 13, beginning at verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But, let's turn around, the conjunction turns the whole text around. I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Another translation says, he has been good to me. Amen. Well, a little while this morning, I'd like to talk about trusting God in difficult times. Trusting God in difficult times. David is the writer of this text. And this text wrote against the backdrop of David being on the run from King Saul. You remember when David was just a teenager and how he slew Goliath the giant. And when he and Saul came back to town, the crowd, the women said, Saul killed his 1,000, but David killed his 10,000. And from that moment on, the war was on. Envy and jealousy filled the heart of Saul, and he was determined to kill David. So we find David exhausted and depressed in this text. We find David experiencing a difficult time in his life while being troubled by King Saul. State of discouragement, state of disappointment. It seemed as if David could go on no more. Not for another day, not for another hour, not for another minute, not for another second. I just believe that most of us have been in that situation some time or another. Now, I just believe that I'm passing down somebody's street this morning. I believe I done passed somebody's house, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to blow the horn and keep on going. It might have been a sickness, financial problem of great severity. It could have been a wafer son, a wafer daughter. It could have been a substance addiction. Could have been a relational problem. But whatever it might have been, I believe we all have been in this situation where we felt that God had forgotten all about us. In other words, we had gotten to our wit's end without resources and at a loss for a way out. But you got to understand that man's extremities is God's opportunity. When we are at the end, it seems like that's when God does his best work. But before he does anything about your situation or my situation, he wants to do something about you. We want God to deal with our complication, our trouble, our trial, but God is trying to develop character. We want him to change our circumstances, but God is trying to change you and me. That is why he allows circumstances, and we cry, "Hurry up, Lord. What's keeping you?" But God is saying, "It's your move. And I'm not going to move until you make your move." And we got to understand that God expects us to do what we can do, and he will do what we can't. We live in a time where all we want to do is just call on the Lord and just sit back, relax, and wait on the blessing to come crunking in. But God wants you to have a part in the blessing plan. In this psalm, we find David. And I don't know about you, but it blows my mind. The sweet summons of Israel. The one that slew a giant with a slingshot and one smooth stone. David, a man after God's heart. David, the apple of God's heart. And yet, this David is here in Sorrow's Valley, crying out to God from the depths of his soul. And it seems that David is having a pity party. A gallant warrior, but yet he's having a pity party. Feeling sorry for himself. And all that a pity party is, that you have forgotten that God is present. That's all a pity party. You just don't forget God's presence. And you feel like you in this all by yourself and ain't nobody having problems but you. But I stopped by to say to you, I got some good news for you. You ain't in it all by yourself. But the Lord said, "I will never sake of you." David feels like he is all alone. And four times David cries to God, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever?" David feels abandoned by God. But now listen to the text. Listen to the text. "How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will the enemy be exalted over me?" David ain't thinking about nobody but himself. How long will you forget me forever? His whole focus is on himself. An enemy. His whole focus is on his problems and his difficulties. And too many times we put all of our focus on our problems and our circumstances rather than God, the one that can work it out for us.
Yeah.
David is saying, if we use modern day terminology, saying, now, Lord, have you looked at your caller ID lately? Have you been reading your text? I tweeted you and you still ain't saying nothing. I wrote it on Facebook and you still ain't answering. What's the problem, Lord? I call you on my home phone. I call you on my cell phone. I even got on the computer and sent you a text. And still I can't hear from you. How long? I come to tell you, man, all of you think he forgot. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. But David is in a bad situation. David has forgotten that God promised him to be king. And if God allows Saul to take him out, how can he be the king? You need to remember what God done promised you. In this Bible, God done made some promises to you, my Ali. And when you're in Sorrow's Valley, remember that the Lord is a present help in the time of trouble. You need to remember that the Lord will make a way out of no way. That the Lord is a burden bearer. That the Lord allow his angel to watch over you all day and all night. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Pity party. Feeling sorry for himself. I don't know about you, but I've been there. It ain't been too many days ago. I've been there. But what blows my mind is David. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's been anointed by Samuel. And the Bible says that the Spirit came up on him mighty from that day forth, and the Spirit have not departed from David. So I come by to tell all my good church folks, my good church Christians, you're going to have some downtime. I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm just trying to get you ready when downtime comes. Don't give up in the storm. We got to understand that trouble ain't nothing but a classroom. God is trying to teach you something. We're in such a hurry for God to get us out of our problems, get us out of our circumstance, but God is trying to build some character. God is trying to change you, not your condition. All we want God to do is just change the condition. Lord, you know what I'm going through with today. Just make a way, some way out of all of this. But God is saying, I want to change you, and then you can change your condition. You change your condition. I hear folks talking about the young men wearing their pants all the way down. If we get them to Jesus, they'll pull their pants up. We got to get them to Jesus. That's where the problem is at. If we can get them to Jesus, acting up in school, if we get them to Jesus, they'll stop acting up in school. Talking about they done took prayer out of school. If we put prayer back in the home, things would be better. It ain't the problem with prayer not at school. It's no prayer in the home. We got to go back to the old landmark. There are some things we need to go back to. Teaching them how to say yes and no. Teaching them how to say thank you. I've been looking at this lady. I can't think of her name. On Oprah's show last night. Where are they now? When she was 12 years old, her father sold her. You know, they do that. In Africa, Zimbabwe, at 12, he sold her to another African as if for his wife. And that's their custom, whatever. But she wrote down her dreams. She wanted to be in America, live in America. She wanted to get a bachelor education. She wanted to get a PhD. Her mother said, write it down and bury it. Write it down and bury it. She wrote it down and she buried it. And Just a few weeks ago, she got her PhD. It showed the picture of the school that she had started. The kids was on the floor writing, no desks. Writing on the floor, hardly had anything, they were smiling. Yeah, yeah. Our kids got it all, and they cussing and screaming. Yes, 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 yes. I ain't thankful for nothing. Yes. Take them to school. Buy them all whatever they ask for. Cell phones, and they can't even spell cell phone. But they ain't happy or thankful for nothing. Give them the moon, they want the stars. Give them the stars, they want the sky. No thankful, no gratefulness. These kids were thankful and had nothing. Smiles on their face. Oprah said, I'm going to give you $1 million to start build a school. They built, she done built a school now in Zimbabwe, and the kids all got desks. They got pencils, paper, school supplies. They were smiling on the floor. They still smiling. Because they are grateful. But we are so ungrateful because nobody at home told us to be grateful. He's having a pity party because he's thinking about nobody but himself. Now, I'm not kicking on you because you done had your pity party. I done had mine too. But don't stay there. Now, verse 3, he comes out of that pity party. And he began to pray. And his focus is not on himself. It's not on the enemy. It's not on his troubles. But it's on God. Jehovah Elohim, God Almighty. That's where his focus is. He said, consider, hear me, Lord. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He said, I need to know that I got some assurance here now. I don't want no answer. When he said how long, he wasn't looking for an answer. He was looking for some assurance that everything was going to be all right. He now feel like he's knocking on death's door. Began to pray to God, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice and I am moved. He said, now, Lord, if you just consider me, if you just consider what I'm going through with, if you just consider the circumstances that I'm in right now, everything will be all right. You'll take care of the enemy. You'll take care of me. But he leaves the pity party, and now he's praying to God. Prayer will change you so you can change your circumstances. Prayer don't just change things, but it'll change you that you can change things in you and around you. The whole essence of this psalm is God is trying to get you. Not out of trouble, but get you while you're in trouble. You want to get you right where you're at. So when the light shines, you'll know you didn't get out of there by yourself. But it was the Lord that got you out. Sorrow to supplication. Now, as I come to a close, I won't hold you too long. 4, 5, and 6. He's praising God. Now wait. He ain't out of his circumstances. No. But he's praising God. His trouble's not over. But he's praising God. But he's praising God as if everything is all right, because everything is all right. Look what the word says. But I have trusted. I have. Past tense. I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. David say, I got some things to praise him for. You know, we don't have to evoke praise from people. I've been guilty of it. I don't want nothing, anything dead ought to be buried. Lights, hallelujah, lights, amen, wall, amen, wall. If God done anything for you, nobody have to make you praise him. Don't nobody make me praise the saints when they playing and winning. Did nobody make me praise LSU last night while they were winning? And Farnett was running like a wild man. Hallelujah. Y'all want to look at me like. Y'all act like y'all like. And then when I used to go here, James Brown, and then nobody had to pump me up. When I used to go to eat a bike, they didn't pump me up. I was pumping other people up. And what God have done for you, what God have done for me, I don't need you to pump me up. I can praise him all by myself, because I know where he has brought me from. David say, you got to know why you're praising God. You got to know who you're praising. You got to know when to praise him, anytime. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. David said, I can praise him because of his steadfast love. He loves me, even though I'm in trouble. He loves me, even though I'm in a storm. But God still loves me because he is love. So I can praise him no matter what the circumstances. And David saying, I can praise him because of the salvation. Is he talking about salvation from sin or deliverance? David knew that he had delivered him from the paws of a bear, jaws of a lion. David knew that God had allowed the spider to enclose him in a cave one day, protecting him from Saul, and he could have killed Saul. He was, I can rejoice. I can praise him because of my salvation. And I can praise him because he saved me. He's still saving me. He died on Calvary Hill for my sin. Laid him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, my Jesus got up. So I can praise him. Not only that, Mount Olive, but he's been good to me. I don't know about you, but he's been good to me.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observe every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
And I want to talk about the blessing of being thankful, the blessing of being thankful. Now, I think there are so many things that we could say just about the topic alone, but I think as we enter into the text and the study of the Word, we'll see what the Lord himself expects of us in terms of a spirit